The world of creation, God said, first chapter of Genesis. The first chapter of Genesis, you will see in nearly every small paragraph, God said, God said. We will get a clearer understanding of the meaning of that when we get into the lecture. But you will see that it was the Word that was in the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God was that Word, and that Word was made flesh. Memory is made up of past impressions which take hold of the mind. Memory holds our experiences, pleasant and unpleasant. These are valuable possessions indeed, but are apt to hinder rather than increase our worth. The things that are dominant are the things that affect us most. Therefore, there is little use in making suggestions to ourselves unless we understand the self. So therefore, memories, experiences, are held in the mind as impressions. The impressions that are dominant in the mind is the things that affect us most. Therefore, very often, these memories are of little value to us. In fact, they may be a hindrance unless we understand the self. Now, how do we understand the self? The self is that which is caught up in the relative. Caught up in desire, caught up in craving, caught up in tradition, caught up in belief. Therefore the self is conditioned by our beliefs, our ideas, our images, our memories, our experiences. And we generally think according to our conditioning. If we think then according to our conditioning, there is no use of trying to suggest to ourselves anything at all, because it will only create confusion. But when we begin to understand the self and the conditioning of the self, we will dissolve this conditioning and our thoughts will be purified. They will be purer. You think and you speak according to your conditioning, how you've conditioned yourself with your beliefs, your ideas, your traditions. Think in your mind now how you think. Do you think because of a certain group, a certain nation, a certain religion? Are you speaking and thinking according to how you've conditioned yourselves? Or do you think through your tradition? You carry your beliefs with you. Your beliefs are conditioning you, and they're conditioning your thinking. Your impressions are conditioning your thinking. Your impressions which you have received in your infancy. If you belong to a certain religion, it has been pushed into your mind continuously from your infancy. You're conditioned by that belief. How can you throw that belief off? Only by discerning what it is. Only by discerning how false it is, and discerning that it is not your idea, but some other person's idea. And you're conforming to these ideas, and naturally, what happens is that you are conditioned, and you're thinking according to your conditioning. Therefore, your thinking is not clear. You are in confusion. Before you can in any way use the power that is within you, your mind must be clear of all that is hindering the use of that power. You do not want to go through life on trial and error, the path of pain and suffering, or mere joy and gladness for no purpose. Knowledge alone will free us from this state of affairs. We must become aware of the past, present, and future in the now. Then there will be freedom from the past and the future, for the now alone is creative. Memory is not creative. Hope is not creative. Creation is always in the now. So we have to discern what is in the mind that is hindering our creativeness in the now. When you think, naturally, you create. You create unconsciously because you think. But your thinking is based upon a falsehood. Therefore, you're creating false conditions. If you fear, you're creating what you fear. And fear is generally upmost in the mind of man because of the fact that he does not understand. Understanding only comes when you have a self-revealing process to reveal the self and all the ways of the self, its ideas, its images, beliefs, its traditions, and you've got to see how you're thinking. You've got to examine your mind to see how you're thinking. You've got to become aware every day, every moment of your thoughts and your emotions. If anything is said to you that interferes with your pet theory, you are up in arms. You become emotional. You reject it. If anybody says anything about any person you love, you're doing the same thing. If anybody says anything about your belief, or your tradition, or your nation, or your group, you do the same thing. What are you thinking from? Are you not thinking from the group? You're thinking from the nation? You're thinking from your tradition. You are, in a sense, of protectiveness. You're trying to protect yourself. It cannot be done. It shows that you are full of experiences, impressions, beliefs, in tradition, in nationalism, in ideas, or beliefs, or religion, whatever the case may be. Therefore, you are conditioned, and your thinking is conditioned. Unless you discern these facts, you'll always be arguing with ignorance. And I told you before so often that to argue with ignorance is a fool's paradise. Unless we are aware of our mental makeup, that which is memory will make us act unconsciously. It is all very well for us to try and influence our minds with great qualities, successful motives, virtues, such like, through repeated affirmation of thought word waves. What if there are antagonistic forces opposing them, we will have only confusion. I don't ask you to accept anything I say, and I don't care one rap for you accept it or not. It doesn't worry me one bit. Neither would I argue with you whether you did or not. All I am trying to do is to enable you to think for yourself. And only when you think for yourselves can you free yourselves from your inhibitions, from your limitations. Therefore, in the first place, we have to establish a peaceful rhythm and soothing harmony within, firstly by relaxation, then by outcropping what is in the mind. At the same time discerning these things as if we were watching a series of pictures impersonally. A good way to do this is to listen to gentle, inspiring music so that the extraneous mental energies are caught up, allowing an easy flow of memory, thought, picture. When you listen to rhythmic music that floats over you, your mind begins to run out. There's one portion of your mind that seems to hang on to the rhythm of the music you are hearing. And another portion of your mind seems to run out of all the ideas, and there is nothing to prevent those ideas from rising up to the consciousness. And as they rise up to the consciousness, you are beginning to view them in front of you impersonally. The music is caught up in one portion of your mind so that it holds these extraneous energies, which very often hold and grip a thought as it moves out and creates a fear or emotion according to the thought or the influence of the thought when it was created. So therefore, you find that by doing this, outcropping is easy. The mind must be clear. You must know what is in the mind. If you do not know what is in your mind, then you will never be able to think clearly, because you'll be thinking according to what is in your mind. Your mind is influencing you. Your mind is preventing you from really thinking clearly. Therefore, as I say again, you are limited, and your thinking is limited and conditioned by your own conditioning. If I can in any way show you how to clear your minds of all confusion, then you'll be able to do the things that I will tell you of later. So this lessens the disturbance of the surface of the mind created by stirring, turbulent waves of thought that may arise. Pleasing sound has a soothing effect on the mind. There must be permanent peace established in the mental domain through discernment. But is your mind at peace? I think not. You have a long way to go yet, but nevertheless, you're on the way. Everyone is seeking an escape from something, and when there is frustration, we seek an outlet. As long as we want to be something, we are inviting frustration. Being frustrated is painful, therefore we seek an escape from it. Therefore we cling to something or busy ourselves with it, whether it be religion, politics, love of country, or we may take to drinking as an outlet. They have the same deadening effect. When people really know what they are doing and how their action comes about, then they will see what is causing their action. People are frustrated. If you have brought up a child that is spoiled, you get everything, as it were, in your infancy, and as you grow up, you get everything too, until such time as you go out into the world, and you've got to face the world on your own. Now you find that you don't get anything at all, that everybody is taking things from you instead of giving them to you, therefore you are frustrated, and you get fearful. You wonder what's going to happen to you, and you turn around and do all sorts of things because you're frustrated. You may be steal, you may drink, or you may take to religion, you may take to any of those things because you are frustrated. If you know why you are frustrated, then you will know the self. You will know why the self is doing these things. The same thing is in everything in your life. A desire that is not fulfilled means frustration. If you know what desire is and what the self is, there shall be no frustration. But there is no escape, although you try to escape, there can be no escape whatsoever. You have to face the problem and dissolve it yourselves. But if you continue to try to escape, you will see that no matter which way you try to escape, it's the same thing. Whether it's drinking, religion, politics, or anything else, you will find it is the same thing. Are we not all a bundle of memories, a chain of memories in reaction to the present? We want to perpetuate ourselves through family, through name, through ideas, etc. So the me is just an idea which is giving sensation to that to which the mind clings. The me gives itself an importance that is entirely false. Therefore, there must be pain. So we try to escape through innumerable ways, and the means of escape is similar. All this must be seen clearly as the mind gives up its cherished desires which have been frustrated. For as long as there are opposing forces in the mind, there can be no peace. And why do you desire something? Because you do not know that you've got everything. Frustration comes through lack. That is a sense of lack. If you're brought up with a silver spoon in your mouth, and you go out into the world and you find that the silver spoon is taken from you, there is frustration. Why are so many of those noodles that we know in the world today such sons of earls and baronets and all the rest of it become noodles and useless individuals in the world? Because they enter the world with a silver spoon in their mouth and they find that they have no silver spoon and they are frustrated. And what do they turn to? The first thing they turn to is to drink or to something else. If they were trained to know the self and understand the cravings of the self and what the self was doing, then there would be freedom. Freedom can only come when you discern the hindrances of the self, the desires of the self, the cravings of the self, how the self is following a particular belief, whether it's following in tradition, whether it's following in a particular religion, whether it's following a political group, or whatever the case may be, it is all the same. You are frustrated and confused. And if you are confused, you are frustrated. And if you are frustrated, you are confused. So therefore, you have no self-confidence, and then you look for others to help you, because you have no confidence in yourself. So you believe in others, and you get further confused because of your belief in others. You have lost your self-confidence because you are confused, and your confusion comes from lack of understanding the self. Only with harmony in the mind and soul can we see the real self in all, and all in the real self. We see the one in all, and all in one. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says this: Verily I say unto thee, that he that see that me in all, and all in me, him will I never forsake, nor will I suffer him to forsake me. Forever shall I bind him to me with the golden fetters of love. Yea, even say I, that he who realizeth me in my unity, and who loveth me so, him shall I cause to live forever within my being, even though he appeareth to live separately in his own mode of life, even in this world. This is a state of consciousness that one finds when the mind is clear of all that hinders this true expression. In this state, the creative power of sound becomes a glorious experience. Now you see what I'm leading up to. I sounded the Om for you the other night. I told you about the Om the other night. But can you experience the sound of the Om in yourselves? You can only experience it when you are not conditioned. If you are conditioned, even in your mind, in that subconscious realm, but in your mind, in that memory cells, where you have your experiences, your beliefs, these are the things that you are continually expressing. And when you sound the Om, what do? You only increase the intensity of these things that are in your inner mind. You do not express reality. You must see clearly that you have to cleanse the vehicle through which you are expressing the Om. If you are looking through a glass that is smeared with smoke or grease or dirt, what do you see? You see through that glass according to how it's smeared, do you not? That's exactly what you do with your mind. You're expressing through your mind, which is smeared, and you get a smear on the other side. That is how you produce the Om. You think then now that when I tell you that you can make the same vibration as I made to you the other night, some of you in the front here almost felt you were lifting off the seat. That is the power of pranayama. But can you produce pranayama with a mind so filled with beliefs and ideas of tradition, of nationality, of political beliefs, of this and that? Don't you see that these things don't matter at all? That the mind must be cleansed from all these hindrances, otherwise you're conditioned. And when you try to express the Om, you express the Om in your conditioned mind. I hope I'm making myself plain enough. That's what I'm trying to do anyhow. This is the secret of secrets, the sounding of the glorious word Om, or Om, with its overwhelming magical potency. This magical mystic syllable has a source of power when repeated with understanding. Om is the most sacred name of the Eternal Spirit and is composed of three sounds. A-U-M. Om. It means the opening and the closing. In fact, it sounded in some methods, it sounded by opening at the lower portion of the spine, and as it flows up, it is closed at the head, such as Om. The vibration does that, and if I go into the details of what happens, is so complicated, but I will give you some idea. Quickly, there's two nerves which flow down each side of the spine, the pangala and the adha. One is the outgoing and the other is the ingoing. These two work together through motor or sensory nerves which join them in the spine. At the bottom of the spine, there is a small hole in the spine itself called the Shushumna, right up to the top of the head. Forces come down from the top of the head here, magnetic forces which enter into what we call the thousand-petal lotus at the top of the head. They come down through and pass through the various centers. First, the center which becomes the individual center. The next center which becomes the fusing center of mind and matter. The next center becomes the first great vital center of the body. And as it flows down, it spreads through those various nerve centers down right throughout the whole body until it reaches the bottom of the spine. That force coming down on the outside, it then tends to flow out from the body through the aura and right away out into the atmosphere. When a person thinks and clears his mind, what happens is this. that there is this channel in the spine which opens, called the Shushumna, and there is the two forces that come down each side of the spine, join together at the bottom, and begin to go up as one force up through the center of the spine. The positive and negative have joined together, and when they reach the top of the head, then the consciousness has power over everything, because the consciousness has power over the energies that flow from the spiritual sense into the first center, which is spiritual sense. Next center is individual sense. Next center is the mind and matter, which controls all mind and matter, which are one. And down right through all the planes which man has, right down to the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, the habit, and so forth, and these planes are all under his control. This is the secret of when the mind is cleansed. If the mind is not cleansed, there is the influences of these particular planes, such as his habits, his beliefs, his mental ideas, and so forth, hindering the whole process of the clearness of the control of the prana, that is, the energies in the universe. And therefore, it is necessary for man to control his own thoughts first, to direct them, to discern them, and also to see his own emotions. He therefore understands his emotions. He understands everything, and therefore he controls every plane of existence through the whole of his body. And by doing so, he controls every plane in existence in the whole universe. Man, know thyself first, then all power is given unto you in heaven and on earth. I'm not going to discuss any more of this because it's going to lead us away from our lecture. If you were with me for a year under intensive training with the masters in Tibet, you would have to work day and night. There is no let up. There is no moment where you can say, I'm tired, I can't do this, and I can't do that. For every moment of the day is scheduled so that you have your particular work to do, and your particular understanding and the teachings that you have to go through. And by doing so, you master all these things in a natural way. Not through, as it were, struggle. Because if you have a struggle at the beginning, the end will be struggle. Therefore, controlling the mind and subjecting the mind is not freedom. Subjecting or suppressing an emotion or suppressing a thought is not freedom. Freedom comes through the discerning of a thought in freedom and understanding it. Therefore, there is no longer any struggle. If you struggle at the beginning, the end will be struggle, and you are just as far away from your success as you were at the beginning. I want you to see clearly and distinctly that the method I am showing you is one of ease and comfort, without fear, without struggle. To Om is the most sacred word of the Eternal Spirit, and is composed of three sounds, A-U-M, which gives the devotee the best concise meaning of this mystical, magical word. When chanted properly with true reverence and understanding, it can calm the storms, it can give life to the dying, it can do wondrous things, for it is the word of immortality, being the imperishable word, the matrix of all sounds. The word is glorified and chanted by all devotees in their meditation. It means, I am the taste in the waters, I am the light in the sun, I am the sound in the ether, as well as the consciousness in man. The word of the Lord of the universe, the all-pervading universal spirit, and that consciousness feels itself one with all and all with one. So the Om is produced, these sounds being the matrix of all sounds in the universe, is the basis of all creation. That same sound is heard in everything, but the pitch of the tone determines the vibration of that particular object or subject or individual. Constant repetition with concentrated meditation, with the mind clear of all obstacles, the soul is liberated from time and space and enters into the allness of everything. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. You will not yet grasp this great truth, but one day it will dawn upon you. Now the things I have said to you probably months ago are just beginning to dawn upon you now. And so it will be so. The things I say to you tonight you will not perhaps understand wholly, but probably in a week or two's time or a month's time it will all come to you. That is the truth that Jesus said. The Comforter will come to you and will show you. All I have said to you will then be made plain to you. So it is with you as well. Om is the sound of creation, and the thought goes forth in the sound to create or disintegrate. The ether wave and the air wave mingle together. All is possible because the consciousness has become aware of itself as the creative force sending forth into the ether and the air waves that cause the etherons to form and the sound reduce them into form to be seen and heard and felt in the material world. Thus, matter is mind materialized. In this way, Jesus led the multitude. How little do we understand the grand, mysterious power of the Masters. Those who chant rituals know little of what they are doing. Neither do those who use words lightly. You can go to church, you can hear people singing or chanting. You do not know what you're doing. You're just singing. But if every word of what you're saying becomes a formed image in the mind, it goes forth into the ether with the sound you have created. The therapeutic properties of sound and their harmonizing vibration exercise an influence upon the atomic structure of the mind and body. The effect, the ethereal, astral, and physical sheaths that close the real self. It is the sound of the Om that comes from within, that harmonizes all the cells of the body. When this is realized, a great civilization will appear. The only power will be seen as that which comes from the spirit within. The creative power of sound, as well as the knowledge and realization of the spirit's creative power, creates a pleasing, harmonious balance when the Om is sounded. With the correct tone and understanding, it has the power of rejuvenating the mind and body. Why has it the power of rejuvenating the mind and body? When you sound your own note, the creative Om that is within yourself, the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, then the Word that was God, the Word of creation, when you see through God said. So it was the Word, not creation. Knowing that sound passes down completely through the whole universe, from its ultrasonic range down into the hearing range and below the hearing range. Because you can only hear from 30 to 32,000 vibrations per second. Above and below, you do not hear those vibrations. There are vibrations of sound that you do not hear at all, which are below the scale of your own hearing. There are vibrations of sound above your scale of hearing, into infinity, that you have never heard before. But these sounds are in operation because of the motion of the atoms and etherons that are in activity. Wherever you have motion, you have sound. If the ethereal sounds were heard in your ears just now, it would deafen you, because your ears are not composed of the vibratory substance that would hear those sounds. Therefore, if you did hear them, they would be at a terrific rate of vibration that would almost lift you off your feet. Have you ever stood in a railway station where there was a shrill whistle of the engine in a high, high pitch, and then you listen to that, and all the time you feel you've been lifted off your feet? That is sound, almost above the vibration of what you should hear. If that sound went more shrill, it would get into the ultrasonic range, and you would not hear the vibration at all. Same with ethereal vibrations, if you heard them at this moment. This grand science of ether and air waves, when thoroughly understood, will dissolve discordant thoughts that cause fear, weakness, and disease, and lead peace, confidence, courage in their place. This method is the simplest, the most efficacious means of purging mass hysteria, of dissolving undesirable influences and injurious magnetic vibrations that may be entwined themselves in the elaborate ethereal network of the individual aura. The human magnetic aura and ethereal network are thickest over the main nerve plexus and are connected with the whole of man's nervous system, and has much material effect upon his thinking and emotional life, thereby affecting his general health as well as man's environment and those who come in contact with him. And it's a very important lecture, this, and I'd like you to read it carefully in your own home. And if you study it carefully and think it over, you will find the true meaning in regard to it. Through man's ethereal and magnetic aura pass magnetic lines of force from the great ocean of life in which he lives. These lines of force feed the body of man to keep him alive in this plane of action. Jesus said, "I do not live by bread alone, neither do you." If you would cover your body with an insulating substance, in 1 hour you would expire. The entire body is covered with a delicate network of lymph vessels, which absorb all foreign substances that penetrate the shield we call the skin and enters the body in microscopic particles. Thus the interior of the body is kept clean. Under the skin and through the whole of the tissue is this lymph, and it protects the body from all extraneous and microscopic substance that enters in through the skin. People have said that the skin does not absorb anything, but that's a stupid nonsense. The skin absorbs a lot of things. Vibrations are passing through the skin all the time, through your magnetic aura, which spreads out beyond the skin and at a distance beyond you. There are influences around you that are always pushing in through your magnetic aura into your nervous system, and through that nervous system they get into your consciousness, and you become consciously aware of some subconscious activity which you are unaware of altogether. How are you going to prevent these things happening? We will see shortly in a lecture next session how all this comes about. We will see how mass psychology is effective, how mass domination is effective. We'll see how man's mind is effective. We'll see how ideas take effect in the mind. We will see then your complete protection against all these things. Anyway, in the meantime, I'm drawing your attention to this most important portion of your body, the lymph vessels. The body has an ethereal counterpart that supports the physical, and this body is kept clean and clear of all inharmonious magnetic forces by bathing the ethereal body in harmonious sound of the Om, completed with the consciousness of the power within. So the ethereal body that supports the physical, and this body is kept clean and clear of all inharmonious magnetic forces by bathing the ethereal body in harmonious sound of the Om. So it goes out from the body and cleanses the body. So when the Om is produced, Om. So often the sound goes out together, and the vibrations are still going. They're moving outwardly. Out to the very end of the aura, I can feel it still going further and further out beyond me. I'm still aware my aura is moving, is far out. If I stand in your midst and come near enough to you, at this moment you would feel the aura. If I came and stood here, at this moment, those who are near me would be in my aura. You feel the aura? I go back, out of it, it gets less. Some people's aura only moves round their body, just about a few feet from their body. That is a weak aura. That's an aura of an individual who is caught up in all these things with a confused mind. But the mind is clear, the consciousness becomes aware. Therefore is setting off vibrations of a higher rate of vibration through the aura, and none of these negative vibrations can enter in. The ethereal atmosphere is charged with vibrations of hate, anger, jealousy, sickness, as well as personally directed antagonistic thoughts. All these vibrations can be expelled and dissolved by pure thought and the sound of the powerful harmonious note of the Om, the primary vibration of life itself. When this is understood, you will see the grand magical power of the sound wave, as well as the ethereal wave, upon the mind and body. The magic sound of the Om sweeps the atoms of the mental, ethereal, and physical bodies into harmony, bringing them in tune with the universal song of life. The universal song of life going through the whole of life itself. The various notes in harmony with one another. There is no discordant note of any kind, because the Om is the foundation and the matrix of all sounds. The pitch of the note determines the vibration of that particular subject or object. Therefore you have a harmonious tone right to the whole of universe. And here I will show you what I mean by a harmonious tone of all the pitches. Listen to my voice. You will hear in this tone of the Om, from the lowest pitch to the highest. Listen to it. There is harmony. All the notes, every pitch is in that one sound. Yet itself is the sound, the word it was in the beginning. And you can listen, you can hear it in the waves of the sea. You can hear it in the rocks, you can hear it in the trees, in the flowers. You can hear it in the animals and in man. If you have that word, the animals will bow down before you. They are under your control. You can do anything with any wild animal without any danger whatsoever. That is the power of the home, the controlling sound of all creation. This is the most scientific method ever devised for man, known only to the masters, and has been handed down by word of mouth to those who have advanced sufficiently to understand. To those who are ignorant of these things, there is danger from their own folly, and many who are truly ignorant of the higher things of life will disregard them, the cause of their ignorance. A wise man is wise unto himself. Those who are prejudiced should make investigation into the properties of sound waves, and there is plenty of literature on the market on the subject, which would dispel their ignorance and prejudice overnight. The ohm is the combination of all sounds heard from nature. Therefore, the fundamental manifesting vibration of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was that Word, ohm. In other interpretations, the Christ of God. Consciousness and intelligence. Consciousness is the directing force. Consciousness is the thought, the silence, the activity is the intelligence. Consciousness, intelligence, and substance, the three great things in the universe. Consciousness A, intelligence U, and substance M. These three are one, and they're never separated from one another. Consciousness is the silence, the silent completeness. In that consciousness, then, man is all-powerful. The intelligence responds to the consciousness, and acts as an intelligence that knows what to do. It is the knowing how brings into operation what the consciousness directs. In the substance, which is the foundation of all form you see or feel. Om, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. When your mind has been cleansed, put your fingers in both ears to keep out the noises from without. Then listen within, and hear the booming, monotonous sound of the ohm of all creation. You can hear the sound when you have established absolute silence, by silencing the sound of your thoughts and emotions, as well as the sound of your breathing from your nostrils. It is then you will hear the nada, the mysterious sound of the ohm, as the Master calls it, the nada. Have you heard the nada yet? Every day, have you heard the nada yet? And if you say, yes, you have, they know good and well that you haven't. There is the perfect way to hear the ohm without putting your fingers in your ears. Listen to nature. Listen to the sea. Listen to the trees. In the desert you will hear it. It is within you. It is around you. Everywhere. Make yourself part of the song of life, for you are the song of life itself. You will soon discern the mysterious hum of nature and the song of creation, the divine harmony, the Om. You will then realize the power of the vowel in speech. Without the vowel, you could not utter a word. There will be no means of communication. In all tribes, the language is mostly made up of vowels, because they are next to nature, even if it is in the raw sometimes. The sounds of the Om are pure, basic, unaffected sounds, and are uttered without the help of the tongue, the palate, or teeth, and therefore represent the foundation of sound production. Oh, the tongue doesn't come in, the teeth doesn't come in, it is the actual sound. Therefore, animals respond to the sound of the O. And why does the master control the tiger, the lion, the serpent? Because he knows the sound of the vibration. And he has no fear because he knows he controls the principle which permeates the animal life. If you control the principle of the animal life, you can do anything you like with that animal or any animal because you know the principle. But how do you know the principle? You have to become one with the principle. Therefore, the master becomes one with the animal principle. Although not of it, he becomes one with it for the time being. He's not separated from it, but he controls it and directs it. He does the same with the seed on the ground. He does the same with the minerals. He does the same with any inanimate object. He does the same with a human being. Read again on the light that I have told you, the words that Jesus said, and you will have a tremendous awakening. Animals all respond to the sound of the Om, and you can quell the wildest beast of all creation by the sound of the Om, produced with the understanding and power of the spirit within. The science of cosmogony, which is being investigated, has revealed some startling phenomena in this direction. When other investigations and experiments are contemplated, this will guide the world into realms of beauty and power beyond our wildest dreams. We will find out the active part sound plays in the principles of creation. I'll have more to say on this subject in our next lesson. Let us make man in our own likeness to resemble us with mastery over the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, the animals, and every wild beast of the earth, and every reptile that crawls on earth. And God formed man in his own likeness. In the likeness of God, he formed him, male and female, he formed both. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Benediction. O mighty one, I was ignorant of my birth. Then from within I heard thy voice of creation. I realized I was within thy mighty self. Since then, O mighty one, I am forever bound with thee in thy love for me. The golden fetters of thy love supported me even in the darkness of my ignorance. The sound of thy creation is forever with me. And I am now forever in thy presence, O mighty one.